recently had the opportunity to attend an ABC class a couple of weeks ago, and there were several questions that were asked. One of the questions was the lady sitting right next to me, and she asked, "Do you think that God has only one job in mind for me? So, like, is my path already decided? Is it kind of a predestination that there's only one way I'm supposed to go, and then that's it? So all I need to do is really just figure out what that path is, if you would play that through, and then that's what I'm supposed to do." So that led to several different questions and conversations to follow. I was also talking about this with my father-in-law. He said, "Well, we don't think God has a plan where we're supposed, he's like the great puppet master and we're just trying to become puppets, but that there are choices and decisions and options that we have." So at that time in the ABC class, I mentioned that I think there are certainly times when God shuts doors. There's certainly things that we're not supposed to do, but many times it could be a path A or B or C, and there are options and choices and decisions that we have to make. So what I'd like to do is to discuss how to apply asking for guidance for paths and decisions and choices we have to make, and how we can apply that for both physical and spiritual choices we have before us. So in our Christian journey in life isn't always easy. Many trials people have to go through, many choices. There are some choices or decisions that should be pretty easy. So right and wrong, we should know what right is, we should know what wrong is, and that should be a pretty easy one. But sometimes decisions, there's not really a right or a wrong, and it's looking for guidance and asking for help, and what's the best next step? Well, did you know that there's many scriptures where it speaks specifically about how we can ask for guidance? Several spots in the Bible tell us how to ask for guidance, and several of these also are contingent. You can ask for guidance if you do this. If you do that, then guidance can come. So what I'd like to do is to talk through five principles of guidance and to really highlight if, and some of these have contingencies, that a contingency means if you want to seek guidance, then we need to do this. So we'll highlight that. I will say that life isn't always a simple formula. So the Bible is just not simply A plus B always equals C. There's principles in there. There's reaping and sowing is one principle. So let's say if you wanted to grow carrots, what is your greatest chance to grow carrots? Planting carrot seeds. If you're planting broccoli seeds, you're not going to get carrots. So if you want to reap and sow and practice that principle of reaping and sowing, think about, well, what is it that I need to be doing? So what I'd like to do in the message today, five principles about asking or seeking guidance. And I'll do this in a way of sharing and interweaving in parts of a story. So a month and a half ago, Josh and I, our 17-year-old son, going on, I think, 30, is that we had an opportunity to climb a 14er, which is a 14,000-foot mountain in Colorado. It was the tallest mountain there called Mount Elbert. So I'll weave some stories about each of the points by tying it into this that lesson that can come from those stories. So let's start with point number one. When we're asking for guidance, let's, number one, prepare for success. Prepare for success. I like the quote, "Born to win." Each of us are ultimately born to win. We have a tremendous opportunity for eternal life ahead of all of us. Now, in the physical life, we should still be preparing for success. We're born to win, and we should be asking for wisdom, and seeking wise counsel. So let's start with a scripture, and then we'll apply this. So let's turn to James chapter 1 and verse 5. So in preparing for success, one of the first things we can do is, if any of us lack wisdom, let's ask God, who can give to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So James chapter 1 and verse 5. So there's a few different ways to look at this verse. So first of all, if anybody lacks wisdom, here's the contingency. We have to ask for it. So if we're lacking wisdom, we should ask for it. And then I like the way it's translated in the NIV. It says, "God who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you." Another translation, God's Word, says that if any of you needs wisdom to know what you should do, then you should ask God, and he will give it to you. God is generous to everyone and doesn't find fault with them. So the first thing that would be a contingency for asking for help on guiding our path is, let's ask for wisdom. And that should be a pretty simple thing, but it's sometimes an overlooked thing. Secondly, there's as a part of this prepare for success, seek wise counsel. So there's multiple verses, but I thought that there was really a verse that just one place would say seek wise counsel. There's not a single verse, but there's several things to build into this. But before I go into the scriptures that talk about seeking wise counsel, I'd like to share a little bit of a story. So when I'm preparing to succeed to climb this 14,000 foot mountain with Josh, I thought I need to prepare to make this happen. So first of all, I've never done that before. It's a very long hike. It's 4.5 miles up, 4.5 miles down. Surprisingly, the down was even more difficult than the up, and that wasn't easy. But so I would walk. We had a big hill right by our house, so I would go walk that hill up and down, and I would be on conference calls. I'd go walk the hill up and down, just trying to get used to climbing that type of elevation. I had a friend who had done this before, so he gave a list of suggestions. And here's like a packing list. And think about this. So seeking wise counsel made a lot of sense. But now I'll ask you a question. If you see this, what do you think this is? Not really a trick question. It's a water bottle, one that was given to me for my work. But at the very top of it, there's a few words, a few letters. It says Camelback. Now, I'll expose my ignorance. So anybody who's a professional hiker or has done a lot of this before, you might chuckle at this, but self-deprecating humor is one of the better kinds, so here goes. On the packing list, I was supposed to have a Camelback. I just got this, and it says Camelback. So I put this as I was hiking, going up and down the hill. The last couple of days, I thought, well, I need to fill up the backpack because I've had back problems before. I wonder what it's going to be like to go up and down this incline with a backpack. I'll fill up the Camelback. And then I'm doing that, I'm walking, and I came back, I told Jan, this is horrible. So the backpack's back here, and how do you get the water out of the backpack and drink it as you're climbing up the mountain? It was a really bad setup. So what I learned was, this is a Camelback. So if you're asking or thinking about seeking guidance and asking for counsel, and applying counsel, I got the list from an expert for what to do. The word Camelback was clearly on the water bottle, so I thought certainly that was exactly what was being talked about. But what this does is you can fill it with water, and then this allows you to not have to unload a water bottle or come around. So this is a really handy thing if you're going to go on a mountain hike. But I will give you one piece of advice. Make sure that it doesn't leak, because this one did. So all the way up the mountain, there's a slow drip going down my back. So that's not so good either. But so the first point as far as preparing for success, if you're going to go on a big trip, figure out, well, what do I need? What's the right equipment that I need? So sturdy shoes, hiking socks. There were people hiking in flip-flops, or actually I can't say people. I saw one person going up a mountain in flip-flops. It's like, how do you do that? I don't know. But gloves and hat, because you get above the tree line, it gets really cold. So a jacket. So just like get the list, figure out what you're supposed to do, and then prepare to succeed. But there's a few parts now as far as asking or seeking counsel or wise counsel that will then apply to this. So let's start by turning to Proverbs chapter 19. So Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. So 19 verse 20, listen to counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter days. So if I didn't have a list of things to prepare for, that would have made the journey very difficult. But listening to counsel and receive instruction. But it's not just any type of counsel. So let's continue on to Proverbs, just one page over in my Bible, chapter 20 and verse 18. Plans are established by counsel. By wise counsel, wage war. Now, wage war means, in the way I would take this, if it's something that's really big, if it's a really big mountain that you're about to climb, make sure you're not just seeking counsel. Seek wise counsel. Have it be somebody that's done it before, somebody that's an expert, somebody that really understands the topic, to be able to provide wise counsel. And then with the camelback example, be sure you understand what that counsel is that was given. So to me, it was very clear. Here's the list. Here's the camelback. The reality was I would have completely misunderstood what was needed. And if I would have shown up for my hike with that dinky little water bottle to climb the mountain, would have been an added challenge. One more scripture in the section, Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. So Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 5. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. I think sometimes mistakes are made because we think we know more than we do. So a wise person is actually a person who knows that there's questions and that there are some questions that they should be seeking answers for, and to do that from wise counsel, to make sure we really understand that wise counsel. The English Standard Version of this Proverbs 1:5 says, "Let the wise hear and increase in learning, and the one who understands obtain guidance." So preparing for success, simply put, we can ask for wisdom. We can then seek wise counsel, make sure it's wise, and make sure that we understand the counsel that's being given. So to share a little bit more about the climb, so this 14,000-foot climb, we started in Denver, so we flew from here to Denver, that's at 5,000 feet. We then drove to Buena Vista, Colorado, which is about 2 hours outside of Denver. That goes up to 8,000 feet. And to go through that much elevation change, you want, hopefully, have a couple of days for your body to adjust. We had 2 days at the 8,000 foot, and then we got up at 3 a.m. to then make the departure to go for up to 9,000 feet was where the hike started. So the hike goes from 9,000 feet to 14,500 feet. Not only is that a huge difference in elevation, it's 4.5 miles. 4.5 miles up and then back. It was steep, and it was very narrow, and there are times where there's very sheer drops, and I'm scared of heights, so I would try to be to the inside of that if there ever was a tightness. But point number two, as we go through our journey in life, do you know that we can ask for a level path? Lead me in a level path is point number two. And there's a contingency for this. So if we want to be led into a level path, there's a couple of different verses that say specifically how that can be accomplished. So let's turn to Psalms chapter 27 and verse 11. And let's see what the contingency is when we ask for a level path. Psalm 27, verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Now, the word smooth is actually Mishor, M-I-S-H-O-R, Strong's number 4334, and it means a level place. In the most of the parallel version, you know, if you line up a parallel Bible where you see all the different translations, the majority of them translate this level place. So teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a level path. Now, a mountain hike would certainly be not a mountain, but if it was level or if it was an easier, more gradual climb, it would certainly make things a lot easier. In life, sometimes we take the difficult, bumpy path because we didn't know better or could have made better choices. So when we're asking to be led into a level path, what's the contingency? Well, it's the first part, teach me your way. So if we're taught your way, O Lord, then our path we should expect and ask for it to be level. So let's expand on this teach me your way. How are we taught? Are we willing to be taught? How do we learn? What do we listen to? What do we think about? What do we read? I had a boss that said, one of my first managers, that we'll be the same person next year that you are this year, with the exception of the books you read and the people you meet. So you think about your experiences and the things you read, the things that you learn, that's how we're then taught. How can we apply this biblically? several different Bible reading programs. I've done the read the Bible through in a year, and I'll confess that there's some parts of the Old Testament where it's kind of a slog. It's like, oh, we're going through a genealogy day. But there's also some read the Bible programs. I've done one. I'm 1 day away from completing it again. It's a 60-day journey through the New Testament. So there's several Bible apps, and if a person would want to do that, it's like probably about 4 verses a day, and over 2 months, then you could read the entire New Testament. Another way to be taught or to think about ways to incent yourself to read scriptures would be there's the Proverbs of a day. So today's proverb, or today's the 23rd, so to read Proverbs 23. I used to do a daily proverb and then the matching psalm. So today could be Psalm number 23 as well. But then I kept going through that several times. I thought, well, wait a second. Proverbs makes sense. There's only 31 Proverbs, and you turn that a month, and then the next month you can go through the Proverbs again. But the Psalms, I was leaving a lot of meat on the bone. I would go through Psalm 31 and then go back to Psalm 1. So I came up with another system of, after the first month, then take 31 plus whatever the day is. So today is the 23rd. If you take 23 plus 62, then I read Psalms 85 today. So because month number one is 31, month number two is 62, 62 plus the number of days now, 85. So this is a way to walk through the Psalms. It would be every 4 months, basically, that you could then go through and expand a daily Psalms reading if you'd want to do that. Several different ways to continue to learn. The church literature, I'm really impressed with. The most recent copy about the Protestant Reformation on the Beyond Today, I'd really encourage, if you haven't had a chance to read it, to look into it. So to have several of the writers to have recently gone through Germany and to tour through some of the parts where the history was then developed that was then written about, fantastic. So there are many different ways that we can learn. Another idea for you, if you haven't found it already, is there's a website called Bible Hub. And Bible Hub has H-U-B, BibleHub.com, has all kinds of information just at one click away. So it's an entire Bible online that has, I think it's about 20 different versions. The Strong's Concordance is there, so it's one click away to just see exactly what that word really means. There are commentaries that are there as a part of it, so that's another way to further learn. So let's add another scripture to this point of lead me in a level path. So please turn to Psalms chapter 143. 143 and verse 10. It says, teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in. And now this next part is dependent upon what your translation is. So in the New King James, it says the land of uprightness. And that doesn't really make much sense or directly to me. But the word is Mishor. It's the same word level. Lead me in the level path. So it starts with the same thing. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. Your spirit is good. Lead me in the level path. What about Psalms 23? We don't need to turn there, but there's the part that talks about being led by calm and still waters. Well, still waters would be considered fairly level, right? So sometimes in life, when we're buffeted with trials and strains and stress, we can ask, teach me, O God, but lead me by the still waters, the calm waters. Lead me by the level path. My brother recently had a reunion for, 30-some years from high school. And there's one of his classmates who's had a lot of challenges in life. And they came up with a statement that life has been hard on, let's say, Jack. But then Jack has been hard on life. And that was a very true statement. So sometimes we create our own challenges, and we can help ourselves get to a level path by asking God to teach us, to then show us that way and show us that direction. So let's turn to Psalms chapter 25, further explain or highlight this. Psalms 25, verse 4 and 5. And it says, show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. There's that teach word again. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I will wait all the day. And the last verse for this point will be Isaiah. And it was a verse I hadn't noticed before. as it would apply to this. So Isaiah chapter 48 and verse 17. Isaiah 48 and verse 17, it says, "Thus says the Lord your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way that you should go." So when we're asking for guidance on the level path, we can be asking to be led to understand how to profit. Now this word profit is yashar, Y-A-S-H-R, and prophet is Yael, Y-A-A-L. There's only one more word I'll give you in a bit. But Yael, and it means to confer or to gain the profit or benefit. So as we're being asked to be led onto a level path, we can ask to be taught, but we can ask for this to be a path that will profit or provide benefit as well. Okay, so back to the hiking story before we lead into point number three. So the hike starts, and the journey is supposed to go 4.5 miles up. Now, at the top of the mountain, it storms. Anything afternoon is supposed to get really bad or could have a freak storm. So the goal is that you're supposed to start early, get up through the tree line, up to the summit, and then come back to the tree line before noontime. So we also knew, well, I was told, that we're supposed to average about 1 hour per mile on the way up. That takes about half of that on the way down. So the journey starts, and I think I shared here, or not just I think, I know I shared here last time how the night before we ended up having half-pound hamburgers, and Josh had two and I had one. That next morning, that hamburger was still with me. I wasn't feeling so good. So I'm walking with my friend. So Josh had went up ahead with one of our friend's other sons, and they were way up there fast. I'm walking with my friend, and we're like, wow, that Viking burger still, that's not a good thing. We're walking further and further, and we've been on this path now for an hour and a half. And I thought, okay, hour and a half, we should be about a mile and a half now. So I had a Fitbit. So then I clicked on the Fitbit, 1/4 mile. It said I'd only gone 1/4 mile, and it had already been 1.5 hours of walking, and we weren't even anywhere close to the pace that we were supposed to be on. I told my friend, I think we're in big trouble. This is going to be a horrific day. Well, one thing I didn't realize is the Fitbits lose things at altitude. They don't quite calculate correctly. So once I had a friend or another friend caught up to us, and he says, no, we've really gone just over 1 mile now. We were about the right pace. Felt a whole lot better. But if you're on a journey and it's twisting and turning and who knows exactly what direction you go, and you don't know what mile marker you're at, and you don't know where the finish line is, that can be a really lonely feeling. So if it can be a straight path with mile markers or guidance, that can certainly make a journey a whole lot better. So point number three is to lead me in a straight path. So we've talked about how prepare for success, ask for a level path. That level path certainly would have made a mountain hike a lot easier. But then prepare for or ask for a straight path. I'll share one last story. Coming back down, Josh and his friend went on up ahead. I'm walking now by myself, and I come around the corner, and I see a guy about my size with a big backpack on, and in this backpack is a gun, a big shotgun. And I thought, what is this guy doing? So if I had had a straight path, I could have seen him, and at least, but I come around the corner, here's a guy with a gun. I was listening for, like, is there the song from Deliverance about to happen? Is there, what's happening? I'm in trouble. And wound down, and I kept looking over my shoulder, and I left. I don't know what he was doing there. I think there's also a path that goes for the Continental Divide, and he was out camping, and the paths intersected, maybe. But I was happy to be far enough away to then say I'm out of that path. But if it was a straight path, you can also avoid danger if you can look ahead and see what's there opposed to winding through. So to ask for lead me in a straight path, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, where it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In your ways acknowledge him, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall And here it depends on your version again. He shall direct your paths. Now, in the New King James, it has a note or a footnote that says, or make smooth or straight. The Strong's word here is Yashar, 3474, and it means to be smooth or straight. So, and when we're asking to be led in a straight path, what is the contingency for this? Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. A couple of other translations for this. In all your ways, submit to Him, and He will make your path straight. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. Know Him in all your ways, and He straightens your paths. In all thy ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make plain thy paths. And the last one, and I should just say NIV, New American Standard, and Darby. This last one, though, I think is my favorite. The New Living Translation says, seek His will in all that you do, and He will show you what path to take. And sometimes in life, there's multiple paths, and we can ask for guidance to light the path, provide guidance, lead me in a straight path, ask for it to be a level path. I know we had a situation years ago where we're talking about, well, do we move and change schools for our children? And we talked through several things, and several things happened, just different, could be coincidences. But every once in a while, Jan would say, well, that could be another light. That could be another guidepost. That could be another path lighting up for choosing this path to take. I thought Mr. Dean, when we were talking about this at the ABC class, Mr. Dean said, you know, sometimes in life, it's not exactly clear what path we're supposed to take. Sometimes God opens a door, and we're not really aware of what's happening, and we go through the door, and then you look back, it's like, well, God lit that road up for me. God lit that path for me, and that provided that guidance. So sometimes when you're in the midst of it, it's not that clear, the decision points, but it's easier in hindsight to look back, and they could be even more appreciative of how God straightened a path and provided a level path for us. I like a quote from Helen Keller that says, when one door of happiness closes, another one opens. But often we look so long at the closed door that we don't see the one that has been opened for us. So sometimes one door closes, and it's like, oh, we're just focusing on that door that's closed instead of, hey, over here's a door that's wide open, and this is the better path. So something to consider. A couple of other scriptures on this. Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 3. Commit your works to the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. This is Psalms chapter 37, verse 4. Psalms chapter 37 and verse 4 says, delight yourself also in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And then verse 23 and 24 of the same chapter, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. So we can ask for our steps to be ordered. We can understand that from time to time we'll fall, hopefully not all the way down the mountain, but the Lord upholds us, and the righteous can get back up with God's help and continue. The last scripture for this point. If you're looking at a fork in the road, and you can choose to go either direction, which path should you take? Did you know that there's a direction that the Bible tells us? We should always go right. And I'll explain that here in Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 2. So Ecclesiastes chapter 10 and verse 2. So if you're not sure about going right or left, maybe go right. So what it says here is, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Well, that verse doesn't say too much, but let's go a little step further. The New Living Translation says, a wise person chooses the right road, and a fool takes the wrong one. Well, that makes sense. But the New Heart English says, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Well, why would this be saying a right versus a left, and why is a right maybe better? What it's really highlighting is, at the time, most people, and even today, are right-handed. So the right hand is a stronger, more dominant, was what one commentary thought. And that's why it's saying right. But I'm, of course, in jest saying go right. It might be the right thing to do. Sometimes making a decision is the right thing to do. But it's go right and choose the right path. So to introduce the next point, So we started our journey. We got up at 3 a.m., had breakfast. Josh is not that excited at 7 a.m. in the morning. 3 a.m. is not a highlight for him or really for any of us. We got to the mountain, 4:30. What do you think it was like there? Dark, pitch black. There's no lights on the mountain. So how do you think it's best to climb the mountain at 4 a.m. because we have to start to get to the summit?
Well, I'll show you.
A part of the Seeking Wise Counsel, and I actually understood this one on the packing list, get a headlamp. So if you get the headlamp on, you can put the headlamp on, and then I got this, but I couldn't figure out I had a problem. Where do you put the batteries in? So it took a little bit of time, and actually I finally read the instructions, which sometimes helps if I would do that earlier, but I rarely do. But I learned that there's a couple of different ways that you can push the button, and then eventually here's the danger warning, so I was hoping I wouldn't have to do that, and then that was it. So a headlamp lights the way. That makes sense. So now let's apply that to asking for guidance. Well, we know, I think we would all be familiar with, there's a very clear verse that says, light my path. We can ask to have our path lit. Let's turn to Psalms chapter 119. But as you think about it, do you recall what's in the rest of that verse? Because it's contingent. We can ask for our path to be lit, but there's something that we're supposed to be doing. Psalms chapter 119 and verse 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Now, how does that work? Can we just hold the Bible out, 4 a.m., it's going to light our path? No. Well, for the headlamp, we had to put batteries in, we had to turn it on, and then our path could be lit. How can the Bible light our path? Well, we go back to point number two. We'd have to be taught, we have to be willing to learn, we have to be willing to read and study. And that's how the Word can be a lamp to our feet. Read the Bible, apply the Bible, and apply many of the principles in the Bible. Reaping and sowing, we've talked about. Whatever we do, do it with all our might. A couple of other scriptures that could be related. Study to show thyself approved. The Bible is a two-edged sword, living, very relevant today. So the fifth and final point is beware the false summit. Beware the false summit. So I had read about Mount Albert, and one of the things that I was happy to at least learn before I got there is that there are three false summits on Mount Albert. So after you go through the tree line, you see what you think is the top of the mountain. And it takes a long, long way to go, and that's up about 13,500 feet. That's a false summit. It's like the line at Disneyland that you finally turn the corner and you think you made it and there's a whole other new line. There's three false summits on Mount Albert. Now, beware the false summit means, so I like the quote that sometimes people climb the ladder of success to learn that it's leaning against the wrong wall. So that would be a physical principle. So make sure that you're pointing the right direction. But make sure that you set your goals properly, physically, spiritually, and beware the false summit. One small story is I got altitude sickness, so I actually didn't make the top of the summit. Josh did. He made it there. I saw him on the way back, and then we went back down. I got up to about 13,000, just about 500 feet altitude sickness. So it's nauseous, really struggling, dizzy. So I just sat down. So then as I sat down, I had this epiphany. So I saw this long line of people coming up, and they just kept walking right by me and going all the way up to the top. I thought, you know, and I was looking around, there's these huge mountains all around me. Sometimes people see a mountain and they say, I have to climb that one, and boy, I have to climb that one. Other times people look at mountains and say, that's a nice mountain. In this case, my goal on mountain climbing, I just said, that's a nice mountain. I had some friends who were like, oh, next time you can go, and you can go all the way up. It's like, no, I think I enjoyed a hike. I enjoyed a nice mountain, and I don't think I'm going to set that goal to go climb that mountain sometime. Maybe you will. And that's fine. It's a good physical goal, and I think Josh is going to do that again. Great. But if not, oh well. But that's a physical goal. Think about spiritual goals and beware the false summit. So two verses that should be very easily thought of here. What should we be seeking first? That's the easiest goal, right? Seek first the kingdom of God, Matthew 6:33. The other verse, and we'll turn to this in conclusion, is Philippians. So Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3 and verse 12. Not that I've already attained or am already perfected, but I press on, that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I don't count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things that are ahead, I press towards the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ. So in summary, we can ask God for guidance. We can ask God to help guide our steps. We can ask for wisdom. We can seek wise counsel and make sure we understand what that wise counsel is. We can ask for our path to be level. We can ask for a path to be straight, for it to be well lit. But each of those have contingencies. We need to be taught, to study, to submit, to acknowledge. And we need to beware the false summit, that as we all seek first the kingdom of God, that we can then accomplish these goals.